You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. Need a custom whiteboard? Tired of not having anyone you can talk to about your project? Let U.S. Markerboard be your source for standard and custom whiteboards, glass boards, and so much more. With 20,000 different board types, sizes, and colors, usmarkerboard.com has a huge selection of product and can make your idea into a reality. Plus, they offer competitive prices and, more importantly, superior U.S.-based customer service that you won't get from the big guys. Just go to usmarkerboard.com today and use promo code KICK at checkout to get 10% off your order. I want to tell you about a new podcast called Outside the Box. If you're a maker, a doer, an innovator, or even just a consumer who wants to get a peek behind the curtain of some of the world's greatest organizations, you should check it out. The first episode features conversations with presidents and CEOs from organizations like the World Wildlife Fund, Feeding America, and more. And you can expect new episodes about things like corporate culture in the 21st century and inventive approaches to business with great insight from some of the brightest minds in the nation. Subscribe now, seriously, right now, to Outside the Box in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi, I'm Ben Mathis, and welcome to Kick-Ass News. Folks, the other night I saw by far the funniest movie I've seen in 2 years. The movie made its premiere at this year's Sundance Film Festival to wide critical acclaim, and it's exactly the kind of quirky, independent film that sneaks up on you in between all the summer blockbusters and literally makes you laugh out loud for a straight hour and a half. Loosely based on the Decameron, a collection of stories by the 14th century Italian writer Giovanni Boccaccio, The Little Hours is about a young servant in medieval Tuscany who flees from his master and takes refuge in a convent full of catty, self-centered, horny nuns. The movie stars an incredible ensemble cast that includes Alison Brie, Dave Franco, Aubrey Plaza, John C. Reilly, Molly Shannon, Fred Armisen, Jemima Kirk, Nick Offerman, Paul Reiser, and my guest today, the hilarious Kate Micucci. Kate has had memorable guest roles on television shows like Malcolm in the Middle and How I Met Your Mother, and recurring roles on Scrubs, Raising Hope, Till Death, and of course, The Big Bang Theory, where she plays Raj's girlfriend, Lucy. She also regularly voices animated series like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out There, and Motor City, and together with fellow comedic actress and musician Erica Lindholm, she performs on stage as the comedy folk duo of Garfunkel and Oates, which has become a bona fide YouTube sensation. Today she'll discuss the origins of Garfunkel and Oates, how her latest film, The Little Hours, satisfied her lifelong obsession with nuns, and how the Middle Ages were a lot wilder than most people think. She talks about improvising her way through the movie, working with an all-star cast of comics, and eating great Italian food and making music together on their downtime in Tuscany. Plus, we cover the funniest nude scene ever, what goes into her nun collection, and her stint as a professional sandcastle builder. Coming up with Kate Micucci in just a moment. The hilarious Kate Micucci has had memorable roles on Scrubs, Raising Hope, Bored to Death, and The Big Bang Theory, among others. She's also half of the comedy singing duo of Garfunkel and Oates, and now she stars alongside Community's Alison Brie and Aubrey Plaza of Parks and Rec as a trio of bitchy medieval nuns in the ridiculously funny film The Little Hours, which opens in theaters this Friday, June 30th. Kate, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Before we started, you were telling me that you had a little bit of a mishap last week and ended up missing most of the press for the movie, huh?
Yeah, I missed a few things because I was down for the count. Well, I have this thing called vasovagal syncope. I don't know how you say it even. I should know how to say it. But I faint when I don't feel well, and I fainted and I broke my two front teeth. And then I was just dealing with that. And, you know, you don't realize how often you need your mouth, which is pretty much all the time. And because the way I fell and the way I bit into my lip, I was in a lot of pain and had to get dental work and then emergency root canals later in the week because my teeth were dying.
My God.
And so it's been a whole thing. This is a funny way to begin, but I don't mind. I'm a pretty transparent person. But yeah, so yesterday Ricky and I had a gig. We played up north at Idiot Fest in near San Jose, and our songs are really, really wordy. They're like super, like, you know, very, if you're familiar with Garfunkel and Oates, but I was having trouble just wrapping my mouth around all of the words, but I'm learning how to get around my new teeth.
Does the fainting thing ever come in handy when you don't want to show up on set or if you want to renegotiate your contract or something,
man,
like that?
It's actually the opposite. It's like such a fear of mine because it's like, but it's really only when I have like a stomachache or something, but which, you know, it's not that often, but it's like once a year I'll pass out. But yeah, I would always, I'm like, this was actually great timing in the sense that like I was working on a show the week prior and the week before that. So I'm like, okay, at least it didn't happen on a work day.
Well, yeah, I've fainted maybe two or three times in my life. And it was usually when I was sick, I think. And that was not fun at all.
Yeah.
it's a weird feeling.
It's a
suddenly
super
coming
weird
to and not
sensation.
Realizing.
Yeah.
What
especially
happened?
Coming to and going, my teeth are crunchy. Oh, I taste blood. Yeah. Whoops.
So are you in a lot of pain right now still?
You know, it's totally, compared to last week, I'm doing great. It's like, it's just a little bit like sore still, but it's definitely getting better. I feel like a new person compared to what shape I was in last week.
Well, this new film, The Little Hours, was one of the big hits out of this year's Sundance Festival, and I just saw it the other night, and I have to say, I have not laughed that much probably since Grand Budapest Hotel. It's at least been a year and a half that I've seen a movie that was that funny. For the folks listening, I can't recommend this movie enough. If you see one medieval Catholic sex comedy this summer, you have to see The Little Hours.
I'm so glad you left. Thank you for saying that. I am so proud of this movie. I think it's I think it's super funny and great. And yeah, I agree. I totally agree. It's like one of the weird, like it's a weird, funny, great movie about nuns and priests in the 14th century.
Yeah, it's funny because everyone always looks forward to the big summer blockbusters. I always look forward to the little movies that I didn't see coming. The movie follows a bunch of horny 14th century nuns chasing after the convent's gardener. It's kind of a role reversal on the traditional sex comedy. Was that spin part of what attracted you to the movie?
Well, really what attracted me to the movie was that I got to play a nun.
Yeah.
I have always been fascinated with nuns. And yeah, I have a nun collection at my house. And I just today was taking photos of my nun collection because I'm trying to do a thing every day this week to share my nun collection on Instagram in honor of the movie. So
what goes into a nun collection? What
like
are we
music box
about?
Nuns. Okay. I have a nun you can pull back and sparks come out her butt. I have nuns they fly across the room. They're called nunchucks. I have a song called I Want to Be a Nun that I wrote about maybe 10 years ago. No, even 12 years ago. And then I would play that on stage and people would leave me nuns on the stage. So I have a very cool. I mean, I also was collecting nuns prior to writing that song, but I so that was for me to get to play a nun. I mean, I've been a nun for Halloween, but like to actually, you know, be, you know, acting as a nun for a month in Italy, that's really what was I felt like I had just, you know, I won the I was so happy, like winning the lottery or something. That amazing, like you spend so much time thinking about being a nun and then you get to be one. It was really great.
That was your dream role, playing a nun.
Yeah, huh? And then not only that, there's that, but then there, wow. You see the cast and it's a dream cast.
Oh yeah,
everybody in the movie is someone I admire and have been fans of for forever. So it's, you know, it's John C. Reilly and Molly Shannon. And, you know, you mentioned Alison Brie and Aubrey Plaza and then Davey Franco and Fred Armisen and Nick Offerman and Lauren Weedman. It's just so many amazing people in this movie. And so I felt super lucky.
I have to ask, do you remember how the nun song goes?
Oh, yeah, I of course. I mean, I'm sorry I don't have my ukulele with me.
Oh, that's all right. you don't have to sing for us.
You know, it's funny. Like, that just, sometimes I say sentences and then I realize that must sound weird. I'm sorry I don't have my ukulele with me. But, yeah, I want to be a nun so I can marry a priest and we'll have a baby and name him Jesus. Our house would have a swimming pool for a little baby Jesus to walk on. We take him to Sunday school to sing songs about himself. But I... it's a cute little ditty.
I love it. I love the word ditty, too. No one uses that anymore.
It is. It's an old-timey term.
Actually, I hear nuns are endangered. Probably a few months ago, I read an article in the newspaper saying that nuns are going extinct. Have you heard? Has anyone brought this up?
Yeah. I mean, I think they are because, I mean, I think there are more probably in other countries. I don't really know. You know, it's just, it's a very specific lifestyle choice, I would say. So yeah, I think that they are, you know, there are less and less nuns, but I went to Catholic college and I knew some nuns there. Okay. I feel like
I was gonna ask if you went to Catholic school with this nun obsession.
I thought about going, but we had really good public schools where I grew up in Pennsylvania. Okay. But I did go and did the tour of the Catholic school, but but that was as far as I got. I stuck with the public school. But then I had to do CCD and that kind of stuff. I went to Loyola Marymount University, so there were there.
Yeah.
And
somewhere I think I read that you encountered an ex-nun who, she said she prayed so hard that felt like she was having sex with God.
I had a nun, yes, a former nun tell me that. That's what she said. She said that one time she prayed so hard she felt like she was having sex with God. And I was really amazed. Like, I just thought, that's cool. Great. I, like, feel like maybe, yeah. I still, like, you know, I feel like religion is such a, you know, very personal and individual thing. But I still have a lot of the bits and pieces that I have taken from Catholicism that I feel like use in my my day-to-day life. I feel like going to Loyola Marymount was cool because it's a very, you know, that school is awesome. And it's also, even though it is Catholic, it's also very liberal in a good way.
Right.
And, so they don't like hammer the religion in, but it is a nice like brush of, you know,
what
you can pick any religion there to study. Like you could, you know, you can study like Buddhism there if you wanted.
What is it that you find so interesting about nuns prior even to this movie? What was it that intrigued you about nuns?
Well, I think, you know, I think that there's something really cool about deciding to do that, you know, and having that life of where you're, you know, you can't get married and you sort of have a built-in friend group. At least this was my perspective on it. And I was a really shy kid and I didn't even start dating until I was 24 years old. So I feel like for a long time I was like the idea of being a nun was like seemed almost a little bit safe. And it seemed like something where if I chose to do that, like I wouldn't have to worry about social anxieties and pressures. But I was like kind of figuring things out and I realized that, oh, yes, maybe I do want to actually, you know, not be a nun and explore other things in life.
Well, I guess that a lot of the things that motivated women to become nuns back in the Middle Ages when this movie's set probably aren't a big deal anymore. I mean, you know, if your romantic prospects were limited to being auctioned off by your dad to some guy 30 years your senior, a convent probably looked like a pretty attractive life choice, I imagine.
Well, that's the thing that I learned through doing this movie, that back then, you know, it wasn't a choice often. It was, you know, you were sent there through your family. So I feel like these women, especially these characters in the movie, are really just frustrated and sort of, at least my take on it was that we were stunted in ways, you know, we hadn't really explored the world. Like, you know, we're just, or, you know, our town, because I guess back then you wouldn't really be exploring the world. But yeah, I think that you're sort of stuck you have your routine for life, you know?
Yeah, I guess you kind of get that in this movie because these are anything but pious nuns, you know? Yeah. They're supposed to be doing the Lord's work and they seem to be interested in doing anything but...
Yeah, there's a lot happening there. But I think that's what makes the movie so much mm-hmm. fun. And, you know, it's based on the Decameron. So that was written in the 14th century and... it feels still maybe relevant to that time, but also I think there's a lot that's relatable to anybody, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a relatable story.
Did you read the original story before you filmed it?
You know, I didn't. I'm ashamed to say I didn't read the story because it's not even that long. I should have probably, but I just kind of dove.
A little late now.
Here we are doing press for the movie. I probably should have done research on it. But I really dove into the outline and of the movie because there wasn't a script, there was an outline, and
yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, and I just really started doing a lot of work, just imagining my character in these circumstances, and mm-hmm. I kind of dove in a different way, but yeah, probably should have done that.
so yeah, that's interesting because the dialogue comes off very natural in the way that the characters interact with each other. So you didn't have a screenplay to work off. You did it kind of like Curb Your Enthusiasm, where you have an outline and then you have a lot of room to improvise.
Yeah, and it was a very detailed outline. And Jeff Baena, the director, he had such a specific vision. And it was really easy to just go, okay, like I knew that he knew exactly the movie he wanted to make. And so it was very easy to just trust him and go, okay, we're, you know, like just follow the captain of the ship. And so I really actually love working in that way. I love doing things that are improvised. I've worked with Joe Swanberg a few times and he works in a very similar way where it's just, you just go and you see what happens and it's very freeing and thrilling. And you kind of, it's like diving off a cliff or something. Like, here we go. And then you find the things, you know, you do have specifics along the way. And with this movie, because the plot is so, it's, you know, there's a lot happening within the plot.
Yeah.
So you do have to get a certain amount of information, you know, said within that scene. But yeah, it's really fun. It's a great way to work. I like it too, because at the end of the day, you don't have to go home and memorize a script. You can go and eat pasta.
Now, did you come from improv background, right?
You know,
UCB or
I came out of, I actually didn't do UCB improv, but
okay.
Ricky and I with Garfunkel and Oates, that became our home. UCB became our home and we did our shows there when we were first starting out for years. And so, yeah, I think UCB is such a great community, and it's so awesome to see, you know, what has come out of that place. But yeah, I don't really have an improv. I don't have improv training. I did a movie with Mike Birbiglia that came out last summer. That's all about improv, and so I got more training prepping for that movie. But yeah, it's a very fun thing to do, to just improvise scenes, and you just feel like it feels very real because it's just whatever's coming out of your mouth is real in the moment, you know.
We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more with Kate Micucci when we come back in just a moment. Are you a small business that feels overwhelmed because you're managing too much? Free yourself from administrative tasks and focus on your business goals with Belay Virtual Assistant. By matching you with a U.S.-based virtual assistant that aligns with your personality, your work style, and the skills you need, Belay delivers real solutions virtually. No cookie-cutter list of tasks. Belay customizes the experience for each client. Plus, their team guides you through the proven virtual assistant selection process and onboarding so that you're never in this alone. They've been helping the overwhelmed business person for 6 years, so they know all the best practices and tools to make a virtual assistant successful. And they even alleviate hiring risk by ensuring only the best assistants are brought on to serve their clients. In fact, their virtual assistant application acceptance rate is actually lower than Harvard's. Belay's virtual assistants truly do give you the confidence to climb higher. So get back to doing what only you can do. Get back to what matters, running your business. To learn more about how a Belay virtual assistant can benefit you and the top 25 things Belay clients delegate to their VAs, visit belaysolutions.com/kickassnews. That's Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/kickassnews. Today's show is also brought to you by Away. Away offers high-quality luggage that's designed to be resilient, resourceful, and essential to the way you travel. Available in 9 colors and 4 sizes, including carry-on sizes that are compliant with all major U.S. airlines, the Away suitcase is lightweight and unrivaled in strength and impact resistance. Not to mention it features a TSA-approved combination lock, 4 360-degree spinner wheels, and a patent-pending compression system to help overpackers. Better yet, both sizes of carry-on are able to charge anything that's powered by a USB cord. And get this, a single charge will power your iPhone 5 times. Plus, thanks to Away's lifetime warranty, if anything breaks, they'll fix or replace it for you for life. I just received my new rolling carry-on from Away last night, and it is definitely the coolest bag I have ever owned. It's as if I thought of everything I would possibly want as a traveler and designed the bag myself. It has a sturdy, hard shell that takes a beating, and yet it also expands to fit more stuff. It's got lots of compartments to keep me organized, and the USB charging station in the bag is probably the smartest idea I've seen in ages. You know how you're always at the airport when your phone dies and you're fighting with some other guy over a single electrical socket? Sitting on the dirty floor charging your phone because there are no chairs near the outlet? No more. You charge your device from your bag wherever you want. I can't rave about this carry-on enough. Away truly thought of everything. So try Away for 100 days. Travel with it, really put it to the test, and see if you like it. And if at any point you decide it's not for you, return it for a full refund. Shipping is free within the lower 48 states, so you've got absolutely nothing to lose. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/kick. And use promo code KICK during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/kick for $20 off your Away suitcase. When severe weather hits, a forecast on your phone just doesn't cut it. You need to know what to do, how to stay safe, and what to expect next. You need the Weather Channel, the nation's most trusted source for severe weather coverage. They go beyond maps and apps with weather experts on the front lines of the storm. The Weather Channel meteorologists make sure you understand the why behind the weather and what steps you need to take to stay safe. And the Weather Channel is exploring our atmosphere like never before. They're leading the way with the use of real-time augmented reality, allowing you to see inside a hurricane, the potential threats of storm surge, or even taking you on a virtual tour inside a tornado. You've never seen weather like this before. And understanding our atmosphere is the best way to prepare for severe weather. Every season, every storm, every time you watch, trust the Weather Channel. And now, back to the show. I understand the director, Jeff Baena, knows this material pretty well because I guess he minored in medieval studies in college, right?
Yeah, he took a course that was very specific to what gave him the idea for this movie. I think it was like something about sex and religion in the Middle Ages or something like that. I don't know the name of the course. He's mentioned it to me. But from there he kind of had this idea.
That's interesting because, you know, this film kind of plays with our ingrained ideas about history. You know, if you're not a medieval scholar like Jeff is or someone who studied that era, you probably think that the Middle Ages were a very chaste, pious time. But, you know, if you go back and you read Shakespeare or Chaucer, these stories are full of bawdiness and sex and raunchy jokes. So in that way, the film is actually weirdly true to the period, maybe.
Yeah, so Jeff had said that, you know, in his studies that he learned that it was definitely, you know, a crazier, wilder time than, you know, probably a lot of people believe among the convents and you know, Catholicism, I guess. But I think that's what makes the movie so much fun is we get to play with that and, you know, watch these three nuns kind of figure some stuff out along the way.
Was he a font of random trivia about the period?
Not really. I mean, Jeff is such a great guy. He's so cool. And like, you know, he he knows a lot for sure, but like it wasn't like he was like always, you know, spitting out facts about the about the time. But yeah, we had such a great time. I think the other fun thing about making this movie was the group, you know, we were always going out afterward, and so we, you know, after shooting, we'd go and have the most amazing meals, you know. You're just like in Tuscany eating pasta every day. It was awesome.
Where did you shoot in Tuscany?
Well, we were staying in a little town called Il Chioco, and then in and around there mostly. And and then on the weekends, we were trying to, you know, do day trips just to see more of Italy, and went to Lucca was a really cool town.
Oh, yeah.
And I had been to Italy a couple of times. Once when I was in school, I went to art school in Pennsylvania prior to going to Loyola Marymount University. So we went, we took an art trip to Naples, which Naples is not really known as an art city.
Yeah, not at all.
But we had this really cool teacher who he knew where, like, you would find the most amazing painting in, like, the basement of a bank. So, like, we were going on these very, like, kind of crazy scavenger hunts just to see one painting. But it was awesome. And then about 10 years ago, I shot a movie called When in Rome, which was this Disney movie starring Kristen Bell.
Right.
And she makes a wish in a fountain. And anyway, that was really fun because I got to go to Rome for 10 days, and I only worked one day. But, so I had a lot of adventures in Rome back then. A lot of moped rides. That sounds dirty. It was moped rides. That's
Vespa rides.
Vespa rides,
Nobody
yes.
has mopeds in Italy.
Is that,
Vespa.
Is that what it's called? Vespas.
Yeah,
right.
Vespa, yeah.
Sure.
That's like straight out of a Fellini movie. Yeah. You mentioned that you have this incredible ensemble cast of comedic actors, John C. Reilly, yourself, Molly Shannon, Fred Armisen, Nick Offerman, Paul Reiser. What was the atmosphere like with that many cut-ups on set?
It was so much fun. Like, we had, everybody really got along, and we really liked each other. And then, like, Paul was there for a very short amount of time. And so, it was kind of fun when we have somebody come in just for a moment to, like, you know, take them to our favorite restaurant. And, we had a great, it's sort of like when I think about it now, it just seems almost like, did I dream that whole thing? I got to be a nun on a hillside in Italy with all of like these great comedic actors. And it was a short shoot. We didn't have a lot of time. So everybody was, you know, at the end of the day, just getting the work done. But we definitely made time for meals. Yeah. I think that was our priority after work. Yeah.
Who cracked you up the most behind the scenes on the movie?
Oh, man. I mean, everybody's so funny. But Fred is one of those guys, like, I just love driving around, like, with his in his little Fiat, because it's just like, you know, driving a Fiat through the hills are, it's just really fun. And, you know, he just makes me laugh in a way that not many people, like, I don't know. He's so funny. I had a birthday while we were shooting this movie, and Fred and John, when it turned midnight, they together... they improvised a birthday poem for me as if it was a poem they said to me every year. And it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, my God, I have these two guys doing this very long birthday poem. And it was just, I'll never forget it. It was great.
Was there a lot of singing on set?
Well, we have a scene, actually, where we learned a song from the 14th century that Allison and Aubrey and I sing together. And so we were practicing that a little bit, and then Aubrey and I chipped in. We bought this really cheap guitar, and we John would sing songs with the guitar, and we all took turns making up songs. Now that I think of it, we did sing a lot.
Well, one of my favorite things about the movie is you set the tone for the movie right from the opening scene. Much of the comedy is in the fact that not one of these actors spends any energy trying to approximate an Italian accent. So you get this crazy juxtaposition of this beautiful setting and a medieval convent. Everything is historically accurate, from how they dress to how they do their chores, except for this one thing, how the characters talk and interact. You're watching these servants of the Lord talk like catty little teenagers out of a scene from Mean Girls. And that just seems to be the gift that keeps on giving throughout the film.
Yeah, I mean, I was grateful that we did not have to do an accent or talk in a way that was maybe seemed more formal. Thank goodness, because then you're not worrying about the other things that we're just able to kind of be in the moment and say what you're feeling. So, yeah, it was a gift to not have to do, you know, some Italian accent.
Well, yeah, and the lack of accents leads to, I think, one of the best recurring gags in the film when you encounter the one person who doesn't speak like an American and you keep saying, where are you from? You have an accent. Are you really from Garfagnana?
Right. Well, Jemima.
And she's British, of course.
Yes, it's Jemima Kirk, who is incredible. Yeah. And that is her, you know, she doesn't have an American accent, and so we're all confused by her. But yeah.
Without giving away too much, let's talk about the scene in the woods. It's so nuts. It's so crazy and so unbelievably funny. You totally steal the movie, I think, in that scene.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Thank you. Well, I don't want to give away too much, but I will say that was one of the most interesting, crazy, fun nights of my entire life. We shot in the middle of the woods. You know, I don't know how to talk about it without giving anything
right.
away. But
okay. Am I allowed to at least tease that you do a nude scene?
Sure, why not?
Was that your first?
No, it wasn't actually.
Really?
It was I felt really comfortable. Like I don't mind nudity. I don't know. I find it to be like just whatever, you know, it's a body. Cool. I think the scene is very tasteful and it's not exploitative. Is that the word?
Right, right. It's not a sex scene.
No.
Honestly, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but it's probably the funniest nude scene I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
In my life.
Oh, thanks. I know. I'll take it. That sounds great. Yeah. I was having such a good time doing that. I think I'm probably a little bit nudist if I'm really true to how I feel. I like to not wear clothes.
Well, I mentioned Garfunkel and Oates, the group that you started with Ricky Lindholm. For anyone who hasn't seen your hilarious, hilarious YouTube videos, how would you pitch Garfunkel and Oates?
Well, I think, we're a musical comedy duo, and we sing a lot about our lives and dating and sex. And so along with that, there's a lot of raunchy songs, I guess. But it's also, I think, the thing that you have to balance. Funny songs are kind of really, in a way, I like to look at them almost like a math problem. They're pretty tricky because, you know, you want them to be funny, but you also want to make the joke. And if you are going to go dirty, you kind of want to also balance that out with, like, some substantial facts or something that's really real and base it in truth. And that way it works. Otherwise, it just kind of seems like...
It's not relatable otherwise.
Yeah, or it just seems kind of like, oh, they're just... being dirty for being dirty's sake.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I feel like we have really, really smart songs that also are, are rated.
Do you feel that women get punished more than men for being dirty in comedy?
I don't. I mean, I feel like there's such a shift now and like there's a new awareness, you know, which is great. So, I mean, I don't think that I've never felt like we were getting, you know, punished in any way or anything. If anything, when we first started, I think it was really helpful that we were women because there's so many, male, you know, you look at shows and like, oh, we need to get another woman comic on the show or it's just a bunch of dudes. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of helpful to be like, oh, we'll get Garfunkel and Oates. There are these new girls that are singing songs. I don't know. At least that's what it seemed like from my perspective. But I never felt like we were getting punished in any way. I think people were really receptive to our songs and continue to be. And I feel like it's been such a fun, weird ride. I never, ever thought that I would be, like, making a living singing comedy songs, but it just sort of happened. It was awesome. I think sometimes the most amazing things happen when you don't plan for them.
Yeah.
That sounds cheesy, but it's true. It's like we didn't plan to have a comedy band. We just wrote a couple of funny songs for Ricky's short movie back in 2007, and then things took off from there.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask how the two of you came up for the idea for this.
Yeah.
It was for that movie?
It was Ricky wrote a short called Imaginary Larry, and I played her imaginary friend in it, and she wanted to make it a musical. So I was already doing a show in Los Angeles called Playing with Micucci, which is a play on my last name. And that is the dirtiest thing about the show, because kids could come to the show. There was puppets, and there were songs about dogs. I was only singing, like, happy, fun songs. And then I met Ricky, and... we just, something happened where it just, you know, you can't plan for chemistry. It just, we gelled in a way that was really exciting and cool. And we wrote two songs in 2 hours, which is the fastest we ever wrote any songs. Now it takes us months and months. But it just sort of fell into place. And then I think sometimes the universe, when things are starting out, you get handed these moments where, you know, things started to happen really quickly for us. And things fell into place really easily. And then it got tricky. But, like, that first few months, there was just a great a great push. I was on the show Scrubs, and the creator of Scrubs, Bill Lawrence, had seen our YouTube video. That was the other thing. Ricky put our two songs on YouTube to share with her family so they could see them. YouTube was brand new. And I remember she called me and she was like, people are watching our videos. And I was so mortified. I was like, oh, my goodness, they were just meant for your mom and dad. So, yeah, I think like things just started to snowball quickly for us in the early days. And then it led us to, you know, we had a TV show for a little while on IFC, and we just had we have a special on Netflix right now called Trying to Be Special. And it's like we've toured the country. We've gone to Australia. We went to Ireland, although I didn't get to see Ireland because I had a really rare eye infection when I landed. So it was real blurry. But
you seem to have some bad luck lately.
That was a while ago. But yeah, I just think Ireland seemed like it looked pretty. But no, the opportunities that we've had through Garfunkel Knows have been just, it still blows my mind sometimes, but it's been so much fun.
Did you grow up listening to like music comedy albums like Weird Al and that type
of
thing?
Yeah, Weird Al. And a big one for me also was Adam Sandler on SNL.
Oh yeah, of course.
When he sang the Hanukkah song, I remember like just, I would always tape SNL every Saturday night and watch it on Sunday morning. And I just remember watching that over and over and over again and then trying to write comedy songs. And the first song I wrote was called Betsy the Cow. And it's about a cow who ends up as a hamburger. I was 14.
Well, you know, I had Dimitri Martin on a few weeks ago, and you almost remind me of him because you mentioned your puppetry and drawing. And you seem to be someone who just constantly has to have a creative outlet and be creating something, even sandcastles, apparently.
Yeah, I used to teach sandcastle building. That's a true thing.
Really?
Yes. In fact, I like to swim at the beach. And last year I got out of the ocean and I had my goggles on. I looked really just like, you know, just a wet lady. And I walked up to these kids and I was like, hey, you want to learn how to make a sandcastle? And they were like, no. And I was like, oh, right. I'm just a creepy lady who just came out of the ocean. Like, they don't know that I actually teach sandcastle building. But also,
where do
I really
teach sandcastle?
Well,
I didn't know that's a thing.
I taught it at Shutters in Santa Monica.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, for years back in like, this is 10 years ago now. But it was a funny job to have. I've had a lot of good jobs. I was a clown for a little while. A mask maker, but mostly when I was starting out, I was teaching piano and I was babysitting. But
what is the secret to a perfect sandcastle?
Well, the sand, you have to get the right
sand.
Well, you
what do you want?
I like if it's like been cloudy. If it's too dry, it's just never gonna work.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's got to just be the right consistency. But I'm like, I never took a class myself. I was just making it up as I went along. But I like to sculpt. I went to school and did a lot of sculpture classes. And that's how I got into making puppets, because I was sculpting a lot of puppets back then.
So you just go with whatever creative outlet you find in the moment.
Yeah, kind of, I just like
whatever
making
strikes your fancy.
Things.
Huh?
I draw a lot and paint. And I like to have shows. Like, I like to plan shows and make shows. So if it's an art show, I'll be like, oh, I'm just going to book a show.
Yeah.
Now I have to make stuff for it. Or, like, I do shows around town. And I have one coming up in July with Rhett Miller at the Troubadour. And so, like,
oh,
I have
cool.
that in the books. So I'm going to make a show for it, you know, and I'll figure out.
Is that
out
a music show or what is it?
Yeah, Rhett's going to be doing his solo stuff. And then I'm going to be doing my solo songs plus some puppets and some weird sketches and I don't know. I'm not really sure. But that's what's fun is like I just put a thing in the calendar and then you just make the stuff for it. I like operating that way. I also just really like drawing cartoons. I do a lot of that.
Well, I think Garfunkel and Oates should team up with Flight of the Conchords one day.
That would be amazing. We would freak out for that.
I would freak out for that myself. Well, with all this on your plate, what's up next for you?
I'm about to shoot a movie in a month, and prior to that, I'm going to go home for the 4th of July. That's exciting.
Okay. Pennsylvania.
Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
I have to ask, with all the religious context we're talking about, why is like every city in Pennsylvania Bethlehem or Nazareth?
There are a lot of
like
religious
that.
Towns where I grew up. I don't know. And there's a lot of churches where I grew up too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the origin of that is, but I know Nazareth was founded, I think, because it was a lot of German people from Germany came over and they thought that it looked like it reminded them of Germany. I don't know. That has nothing to do with the churches, so I'm not really sure. Oh, another
you know
cool
where
thing.
Nazareth is, right?
Oh, well, yeah. Nazareth is not in Germany. That's I know that much. But I should also mention the reason I'm going to Comic-Con is DuckTales. I'm in the new DuckTales. They're bringing it back.
Oh, the Disney's DuckTales. Yeah. Oh, I love DuckTales.
I did, too. I'm so excited. Oh, so I play cool. Webby. So yeah, that is coming out this summer.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, you are so hilarious in this movie. Again, The Little Hours opens in theaters this Friday, June 30th. Kate Micucci, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun. Thank you.
That's the show, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Once more, if you're a small business that feels overwhelmed because you're managing too much, free yourself from administrative tasks and focus on your business goals with a Belay Virtual Assistant. To learn more about how Belay Virtual Assistant can benefit you and the top 25 things Belay clients delegate to their VAs, visit belaysolutions.com/kickassnews. That's Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/kickassnews. Thanks again to Kate Micucci for coming on the podcast. The Little Hours opens in theaters tomorrow, Friday, June 30th. Keep up with Kate at katemicucci.com, that's spelled M-I-C-U-C-C-I, and follow her on Twitter at Kate Micucci. And check out some of the best of Garfunkel and Oates at garfunkelandoates.com. Be sure to subscribe to Kick-Ass News on iTunes and leave us a review while you're there. Don't forget to take our listener survey. It only takes 5 minutes at podsurvey.com/kick. You can visit Kick-Ass News on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Kick-Ass News Pod. And be sure to recommend Kick-Ass News to your friends on your social media. And if you really want to help out, then donate to our GoFundMe campaign at gofundme.com/kickassnews or click on the donate button at kickassnews.com. As always, I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, though, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News. Kick-Ass News is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.